Well, it's my pleasure this morning to introduce a guest speaker. Thomas Anderson Jr. is in town. We sort of met once a year ago, but mostly just met this morning. And I just knew he's taught at Moody, he's taught at Whitworth, he was the former pastor at Shiloh, and he's a campus pastor at Willow Creek. And mostly what I know him for is that Brolin and Nicole chose Connection Point over him. And that's because he tried really hard to hire them both in Chicago, but they're like, that had nothing to do with it. But he found out, he wanted to come check out where Brolin was. I'm like, hey, if you're coming, you want to preach for us? And he's like, he'd be honored to preach. So let's give Thomas Anderson Jr. a warm welcome. Come bless us.
Thank you, brother. Oh, man. Well, good morning. Barry, you are not wrong. You've got some amazing people joining you here, and I'm going to brag a little bit on both. Brolin, who I know a lot of you are going to get to know, this man loves people and Jesus second to none. So if there are parents in here, here's my shameless plug. Your kids are in the best hands possible. He's going to disciple them, love them, be there for them every step of the way. And Nicole is a woman of many talents, and you will get not just a dynamic musician, but a creative thinker and a scholar in the word. And she doesn't like that I just said that, but I got the mic and you don't, so that's cool. And I got to be honest with you, there's a host of people here who are just rocking me right now because I lived in Spokane for 6 years. I taught for Moody for the entire time and was at Shiloh for 3.5. And God did some amazing, special things in that time. And I'm just seeing some faces that remind me of his faithfulness through it all. And so for those who came out, it's an honor to see you again. And for Barry, who like disappeared, where'd he go? There he is. For Barry, thank you. And I mean this, man. Listen, we don't know each other well, and you trusted me with your flock, those in the room and online, and asked me to preach, and I appreciate that, and I'm humbled to be able to be here. So my prayer this morning is I don't embarrass anybody, but that I also make Jesus's name really known to you all. And so can I just pray as we kick off our time in a word? Dear Heavenly Father, God, what an honor it is to sing, to greet, to worship with my brothers and sisters here at Connection. Father, I pray for everyone in the room, everyone online, that as we dive into your word, your living word, that it just penetrates our hearts, that it reads us, challenges us, gives us comfort and hope, and draws us closer to you. Father, I'm just so humbled and grateful for the opportunity to be in community. And we pray in your son's name, that your spirit not only is already at work, but continues to work in our hearts, minds, and lives. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, as Barry mentioned, my name is Thomas Anderson Jr. I currently live in Chicago, Illinois. And when I say Chicago, I don't mean like the surrounding areas. I am smack dab downtown in Chicago, loving every minute of it. If there are any football fans here, I am like blocks away from Soldier Field. I just love every part of the vibe, but I tell you what I love more than anything is continuing in the pastoral ministry. As I mentioned, I was a pastor here for 3.5 years. I now pastor with Willow Creek Community Church. And what brought me back this way was my connection with Whitworth. I teach for Whitworth University. So I spent the weekend teaching nine students in their graduate program how to teach and preach. Side note, if this goes terrible, I told them they should get their money back. And so when Barry called me and said he was interviewing Brolin, if I had anything to say, and we got to talking, he said, would you love to preach? And I was asking him where he's at. My understanding is you're in Joseph. So in Genesis, talking about suffering, which is something I love to talk about. If I had time, I'd tell you my whole life, and you'd be like, are you Job? Are you Joseph? It's intriguing. And so I began to pray, and I was even texting Barry saying, Barry, what you know, What would be beneficial? What would be this? He said, let the Spirit lead, let the Spirit lead. And I'll be honest with you. I had a lot on my plate coming here. I taught for 16 hours over 2 days, a lot on my mind. And I was feeling really uninspired. Really uninspired. Anybody have those moments? Like you open your Bible and all the words meld together? Maybe you drop it and see a page opens and go, Spirit, is that you? Like, what should I read today? Just me? All right, cool. Uninspired, I read a bunch of the Bible. And I'm not exaggerating. I read like all of Galatians. I read like half of Corinthians, all of 1 Thessalonians. Like, I'm reading 1 Peter like 5 times. Like, Lord, are you here? What should I say? And then as I begin to think about what God has done in my life, what God has done in the lives of the people that I know here, where you're at as a church in terms of your series, the Lord did speak to me. And what he communicated from his word was, the story I have given you has been woven together by me. The story I've given you is woven together by me. So then I begin to think, I say, okay, Lord, so what you're saying is, that as I read your word, part of the 66 books that we have as the Bible, I'm really like, we are really like the 67th. Like, we are the book read by men. Oh, well, I don't like that because, ooh, I don't want you peeking behind this curtain. And then the Lord directed me to 2 Corinthians. So that's where we're going to hang out for a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And two things I want to tell you as a jump in, just to orient you to me. One, I am in love with the Word of God. It has radically changed my life. It has drastically impacted me as a father, as a husband, as a pastor, as a teacher, as a man. Two, I'm going to yell a lot. So this section over here, some of them know. Rest of you, just hold on. We're going to be all right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you hear nothing else from me, if you remember none of my stories, if you miss all the connections, if I trip over my words, the one thing I want to tell you about the work God is doing in your life is that when you suffer well, it gives you a story to tell. When you suffer well, not just suffer because life sometimes sucks and things get really hard and, man, I wish it was different, but oh well, here we go. Not just the suffering of, well, it is what it is, let me just go ahead about to do it. No. When you suffer well, and we'll flesh that out what that means. But when you suffer well, it gives you a story to tell. And I want to encourage you that story is what God wants to use to bring more people to him. Let's unpack that for a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 3. Not that 1 and 2 are unimportant. I'm just going to trust you're going to read that on your own time. Verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. I'm going to pause there for a moment. Praise be to God and Father of Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. This is really interesting. See, because Paul is writing to a church, the second letter, really it's like the fourth letter, but that's a different story. The second letter to them that we have, and the first letter didn't go so well. He was pretty upset in 1 Corinthians. They were knuckleheads in the Corinth church for that first letter, and he rebuked them. Now he writes this letter, and the conflict going on with this letter is they really don't think Paul is a legit apostle. They don't think he's legit in what he does. You might not have had anybody question your qualifications before, or anyone see you and you say, oh, I'm good at that, and they look at you like, really, you? But that's what's happening to Paul. Because Paul was always going through something. He wasn't eloquent with his words. He didn't have his life together. You know, he wasn't that super Christian you're supposed to be. And so because he didn't fit the right mold, they said, you must not be from God. They discounted him. And so Paul starts off with talking about the compassion of God who comforts all and says he comforted us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble. This is amazing because you don't get to know what the trouble is, which, by the way, I love that. I know some of us here are like, man, I just wish they would tell me it was my trouble so I could be comforted. But the beauty is leaving it as ambiguous as it is allows us to put ourselves in the story. It allows us to go, ooh, so are you telling me whatever I'm going through, whether it's external or internal, that God has the ability to comfort me? Paul says, yeah. Paul says, yeah. See, we serve a God who comforts us in all of our troubles, but it's not just a release of pain he provides. There's purpose to your pain. And the purpose is when you experience relief and comfort, now you have the opportunity to comfort others. Suffering well gives you a story to tell. When you go through something, there's purpose behind it. And Paul seems to suggest that his troubles allowed him the opportunity to comfort people with the comfort they received. You've heard this analogy before probably, but think of a well. When you go to draw water from it, what do you need in the well? Water. It's got to be there. And the more water in the well, the more water you can draw from it. It's not hard to understand. Well, the same is true for our spiritual lives. When you are suffering, when you are in turmoil, when you are in pain and conflict, when your heart is just a little heavy, when the tears soak the pillow at night, when you are experiencing all that and more, and then you get the opportunity to receive comfort, to receive encouragement, to spur you just on a little bit longer, that is building up in you all that God needs to use to do that with somebody else. There's a story forming. There's a testimony, we used to say in church, developing. There's an account that you can share. And listen, I don't know about you, but I love a good story. I love a good story. Especially the type of story that's super tragic, but you're far enough removed from it that you can laugh at. You know what I'm talking about. You didn't laugh in the moment, but maybe like 6 months, you're like, I can't believe we survived that. You know, you can have that mindset when you go in. If we take the word of God seriously, we can say, well, wait a minute. If I'm serving the Father of compassion, the God who cares, who sees me in my brokenness, and not just sees me, but he's with me. Not just with me, but he's holding me in my brokenness. If that's who I serve, then he's going to work this out some way, somehow, surely. Amen. Some way, somehow, surely, for his good, because we got a story to tell. So Paul continues on. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. By the way, I know I didn't like this when I read it. I don't want to assume for you, but many of us don't like this when we hear it. We share in the sufferings of Christ. Good news is no one's going to crucify you. Bad news is they're going to lie about you. They're going to dislike you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to give you that ugly face. They're going to do all the things to you. They're going to talk about you behind. You say, who's the they? I don't know, but everybody knows they. They just pop up. I don't even know what I did half the time. And they pop up. Paul doesn't define it, but what he tells us is we share in the sufferings of Christ. Jesus told us in John, he said, oh, if you are upset that the world hated you, can you remember they hated me first? That's the Thomas version. I paraphrase that. The world hates you because they hated me and you are in me, Jesus says. So Paul just reminds us, hey, we're going to share in the sufferings, but do not forget, if you share in the sufferings, you got to share in what came after. The story just didn't end with the cross. It didn't end with the tomb. It didn't end that way. No, no, there was resurrection. There was life. There was freedom. So Paul says, if you share in one, you got to share in the other. Suffering well gives you a story to tell. If you can just hold on, if you can just see God with you. So I like to word it this way. Sometimes God is walking alongside of me. Sometimes he's holding me. Sometimes he's dragging me. Sometimes he's carrying me. We're going to get to the end however we get to the end. But as long as he just stays with me and I'm with him, I have that story. I have that story. I know it hurts in the moment. I know it hurts in the interim. But if we can hold on, God is working something out. So Paul says, if we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ. And remember, he's talking about himself to the church in Corinth. He's talking about his team. If we share in the sufferings, we'll also share in the comfort. It'll abound through Christ. If we're distressed, he says, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Now, I want to clarify this. When Paul says to the church, if we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation, what he is saying is, my suffering allowed the gospel to be made known to you. We went through heartache and pain so the gospel message could go forward. So when we suffer, you benefit. You ever look at your life that way? Maybe I am like Job. You said, what you mean? Maybe God is highlighting me so someone can see this story and know him more. Why me, God? Why not you? I'm getting weary. Perfect. You'll see me more. I'm tired. Yeah, but I'm strong. Think about it. If you took everything you've gone through, all the pain you've seen and experienced, and just changed the perspective, instead of, oh man, it's always me, to, oh man, I've got a story to tell. Yeah. Someone will peek in and see God at work. So when they think their life is hopeless, you can say, no, 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 there's always hope. Yeah. Suffering well gives you a story to tell. But Paul says to the church, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. So this weekend in my class, I'm talking about preaching and teaching. And I start off by sharing a bit of my story. I walk through kind of orientation to knowing who Jesus is, disorientation when I wrestle with my brokenness, and then reorientation, how I fell back in love with God, right? I'm sharing these three parts of my story. And in sharing my story, I get real vulnerable. We're family, right? Can I just be adopted here for a second? We're family. I get real vulnerable with my story. I talk about how I used to hate, my mama said never use the word hate, but I did. I used to hate the people of God. I got angry with the church. No amens on that one. Okay, that was good, Barry. That means everybody's in love here. I love it. You're doing a great job. I used to get really angry and bitter at the people of God. And then I talked about how for and I didn't go into detail because you can share with boundaries, right? You know how some of us overshare. But I said, so I used to get angry with the people of God, and then I wrestled with suicide in my life. And I began to talk about these things, and I moved through my story and then said, but let me tell you what God has done, and I talked through it. And then when I was done, I said, okay, it's now your turn. Everybody share their story. And you watch one by one people share their story, share their brokenness. And I said, why did everybody get so intimate? And they looked at me and said, well, you began to give us hope in the story you shared. That it compelled us. It compelled us. Can I tell you that when you start to recognize the struggles, the pain produces in you this patient endurance of the same struggles in someone else, that when they identify, you ain't even got to go through the same things in the same way. And you know how we do. Somebody tell a story to make you think of something else. You'd be like, oh, that's right. But when you identify and you realize, well, wait a minute, if Barry went through this, and Barry made it out and he seems okay. If Brolin can make, if they can make it through, then maybe, just maybe, the same God will do it for me. And if he does it for me, maybe he'll do it for them. Suffering well gives you a story to tell. And that story is one of God's compassion and comfort. That story is one of building endurance in you. Building endurance in you. Listen, I don't have a lot of physical endurance. I walk up a couple of flights of stairs and it feels like I ran a marathon. I get a little sweaty. I'm a little tired. But that's because I don't hit them stairs enough. That's easy. It was 67 degrees a week ago in Chicago. My family took the train up. We got some tacos from a food truck. And then we had the bright idea. We said, let's walk back home. Now listen, we ain't walk all winter nowhere. Okay? Winter's in Chicago, you don't go outside. We said, oh, it's a nice day. The sun's out. Let's go for a walk. It's a mile and a half home. Don't look long on Google Maps. Listen, Google lied. There was no patience. There was no endurance. It was all suffering. I did not suffer well. But what if I use that opportunity? And I missed this. I missed this. But what if I use that opportunity in my pain, in my frustration, instead of being bitter and angry and gasping for air every half a block, if I looked around the neighborhood and prayed as I walked? What if I saw the momentary setback of whatever I was feeling as an opportunity to draw closer to the one I call my King? You see what I'm doing? I'm using something light, but I'm hopefully hitting something deep. What if we recognize that our pain and the moments that come up are just opportunities to experience Jesus anew? He is with you in your brokenness. You're never alone. There's no shame in that. And there's no shame in telling that too. See, we like to hide it. We want to present ourselves as we got it all together. My wife and I quit that long time ago. We got two little kids. You come to our house, there's going to be crumbs on the floor. All right, look. Take your shoes off if you want. I don't know. Why would I try to be perfect in front of you when I got a God that loves me the way I am? So the pain is a part of my story. The suffering is a part of my story, but it's working in my favor. It's doing something. One of our pastors at Willow said it this way, and I love it. His name is Sean. He said it so perfectly. He says, if you don't allow God to transform your pain, you transfer your bitterness. If you don't allow God to transform your pain, you will transfer your bitterness. Okay, God. I don't want to hurt people. That's what people do, right? Hurt people. I don't want to do that, God, but help me out here because this thing seems like it hurts. And then you get verse 7. And our hope for you is firm, Paul says. Because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you share in our comfort. You ever hear a story from somebody, your heart is breaking, you're weeping with them, you're crying with them, and then all of a sudden they get good news? You get just as happy as if it was your good news. Because it is. You've shared in their sufferings. You now share in their comfort. It's the same way. God is using our pain to build patience, and that patience spreads through the community. Suffering well gives you a story to tell. I want to hit a few more verses and then I'm going to get out your hair. Verse 8. And the reason I want to go through verse 8 through 11 here, because you see what Paul sets up in terms of suffering and the sharing in suffering and the comfort that comes, setting up who God is, the God of all compassion and comfort, and the work he's doing in and through that. But I love verse 8 through 11 because we haven't heard much about what Paul's gone through. You got a generic idea that we all need. But then he gets to verse 8 and says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we have received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Let me pause there. Paul now says, listen, I don't want you to be tricked and fooled. This thing wasn't easy. I wanted to give up. I was ready to get out. I was tired. I was wounded. I was weak. I was angry with life. First of all, I love this because it allows me permission to feel all the feels I get. It allows me permission to get all the feels I get. God is big enough to handle your emotions. You want to be angry at God? Be angry at God. He's still God. You want to have questions for God? Have questions for God. He's still God. Paul says, man, we were exhausted with life. This was beyond our ability to endure. Anybody ever feel like that? Okay, God, I know you said you won't give me more than I can bear, but this feels like more than I can bear. This feels a little heavy, Jesus. What's going on? He said, indeed, we felt we received the sentence of death. This has got to be it. You got to be calling me home any moment because this is too much. And then I love that, but this happened. I love that you can hold in tension the reality that things are hard, but God is moving. That things can bend us, but God won't break us. And he holds it in tension. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves. I don't know about you, Connection, but there's times where I think I'm pretty good. I think I'm pretty strong. I think I've got it together. I've got a plan. I got a path. I'm going to keep at it. And God reminds me, son, you need me. I'm the vine. You the branch. Branches don't do nothing without the vine. Paul says, this happened that we might rely on not rely on ourselves, but on God. And I love this. Who raised the dead? This just ain't any old God. No, this is a powerful God. This is a mighty God. This is a God, we already heard how loving he is, so it's not a question or issue of his love. Now you're exposed to his power. He raised the dead. So if he can raise the dead, he's all powerful. If he loves you, God of comfort and compassion, then that means whatever you're going through is on purpose. That means he's got a plan. He's working it out. He's doing something. And verse 10, he said, he has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. This is the beauty of the story you get. It's for people and for yourself. It always amazed me how God will bring us over the mountain, bring us through the valley, and then we trip on the pebble. It's like we forget. Y'all know how y'all read your Old Testament and then y'all blame Israel? Like, man, they just didn't get it. They're a bunch of knuckleheads. How many times did God have to tell them? You know that's you, right? It's me too. We all in this together. That's us, right? God will bring us through something amazing and something crazy, and then the sink will fall apart and you lose your mind. That is me. He's delivered us from such a deadly peril. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. If he's done it before, he'll do it again. And if he don't do it again the same way, it doesn't mean he didn't love me anymore. What it meant was he had a different story to tell. On him, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. So I said to you that suffering well gives you a story to tell. What you see in these last few verses I'm going to finish off with is the suffering well and the story to tell piece can be shared in community. Paul is telling people what is going wrong so they can pray for him. You are a part of this journey with me. Y'all are in this thing together. When I allow people the opportunity to see my pain, they not only were sharing the sufferings and sharing the comfort, but somehow God uses their prayers. Now listen. Understanding how prayers work is a little bit above my pay grade. Because at one level, I'm crying out to God to keep his covenant promises. I'm asking God to show up mightily and work. And at another level, he's got things worked out and planned. And yet, look, that's above my pay grade. But here's what I know. He uses it. Paul says he uses it. Paul says He'll deliver us as you help the Corinth church, as they helped in their prayers. Well, the only way people will pray for you is they know what to pray for. You know how you get in, and I saw y'all had connection groups. You know how you get in these groups. You get there. We got any prayer requests? Everybody start looking around. You know how it is. Then one person will be courageous and they'll go first and they'll share, well, could you pray for so-and-so this hurts? Oh, okay. And then it gets real sad. That used to be me. I get it. Sometimes I didn't want to share because I was like, no, I got it. You know, I've been praying. I'll be fine. And then I realized, no. I need to bring my whole self. I need to, because God already sees me. He already is with me. I just need to bring my whole self, because when you see all of me, you'll see all God's doing. When you share in my sufferings, you will also share in the comfort. And we do this thing together. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. When I share where I'm at and what I'm struggling with boundaries in appropriate settings. Come on, somebody. When I share that way, and then victory is mine, and I share that, we all win. But more importantly, Jesus' name is made great. Can you imagine? See, we're blessed here in this country. Can you imagine? There's parts of the world, and especially at this time, they did not have a Bible to walk around in, a Bible to hold handy, a Bible on their iPads, a Bible on their phones, a Bible app. They didn't have any of that. They either had to memorize it or watch somebody's life. If I wanted to see God at work, I had to memorize it or watch you to see your deliverance. Can you imagine what the church would look like if we were truly honest of where we are and then celebrated when God moved and people started saying, well, wait a minute. I thought I knew what Christianity was and I thought I knew what Jesus was, but what you're showing me is a whole other kind of Jesus. Because we're showing the Jesus of the Bible. When people look at us and go, whoa, I thought I knew what the church was because I've seen these preachers on TV and these money grabbers on TV, but when I look at you, I'm seeing authenticity. I'm seeing genuineness. When I see you suffer well, I'm hearing your story you tell, and I'm realizing God is a God of comfort and compassion. And you know what I just need? You know what this world needs? They need some comfort and compassion, but not the fake kind. Not the let me rub your back, baby kind. Not the it's going to be all right kind. Not the this too shall pass kind. But that there's a God in heaven who will show up every time. If you suffer well, you get a story to tell. One of my heart's desires, Barry, is I wish I could protect my little babies. I got a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old. I'd love nothing more than to protect them from every ounce of pain they will ever feel. To never see a tear hit their eye. But the reality is, those tears form something great in them if they suffer well. I bet you've got people you love. I bet there's people who love you, and you're sitting here going, man, I don't like that I have to go through this, but just please remember, God is not just this masochist God who wants to take you through pain to laugh at you. No, he's doing something in you. And more importantly, it's just not in you, but it's for all of us. So I don't know where you are today. I'm assuming, especially those who are with us online, that there may be someone here who's saying, I'm just not sure on this Jesus thing, though, and I'm just not sure about this church thing. I want to say, listen, can we drop the formalities for a minute? Here's what I need you wrestling with, that there is a God who desperately desires relationship with you, who loves you so much, that went first in the suffering, Jesus. Jesus in the garden. We see the beautiful blend between humanity and divinity, crying out to his Father, Lord, remove this cup from me. Jesus saying, if there's another way, make it happen in about 2 minutes because they're on their way. I don't want to do it, but if it's your will, let it be done. Please know that Jesus goes first in suffering to show us that there is an end result, and it's always, always God's glory and best for us. It's always our victory. It's going to hurt. It's going to be a journey. I can't tell you when it ends. I can't tell you when the middle is. I got a whole lot of nothing for you on the journey length. But what I can tell you is that when God delivers, because I'm like Paul, I'm real confident. I've set my hope in him that he'll continue to deliver me. I'm like Paul, that by your prayers, it'll work out in my favor. I'm like Paul, that then at the time he delivers me, many will give thanks. Not to me, don't praise me. They will give thanks to God. Because as I suffered well by his grace, as I suffered well, my story that I tell will impact many. And some will say, I don't know a whole lot about church, but if the God you serve did that for your life, I want to know more about Jesus. I don't know a whole lot about the right words to use and a whole lot about prayer, but if Jesus did that, if that's what you say doing Jesus, following Jesus does, then please sign me up. I want to know more about him. And there's nothing I want more for this church. It's to be in a position to have people see Jesus and come to trust him as Savior. That's the transformation because of the story. That's the power and the purpose of the pain. Suffering well will always give you a powerful story to tell, and it'll lead people back to Jesus. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I often wrestle, Lord, with why did you leave such an important message to a bunch of broken people? But then I realized through your word that it's in our brokenness you get to really show who you are. And so while it doesn't feel good, and while we often don't like it, God, I pray you continue to have your perfect work in the lives of the believers of this church, in my life, because it allows me to suffer well, to let you transform my pain, and then by suffering well gives me this amazing story to tell of the love of a Father and a God of all comfort. Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, no matter what they're going through, or even if it's a season where they feel like things are going really well, that they can just tuck this message away in their heart. For when the winds blow and the waves crash and things feel a little rough, they can remember you are God of all comfort and compassion, and you're working this out, even this painful thing out, for their good. Help us hold on, Father. We need you. We love you. And in Jesus' precious name, we pray.